And welcome back to the wrestling podcast. That's wrestling spelled W-R-S-T-L-I-N-G. It's all of the graps, but without the E. It's an all-star edition of the wrestling podcast. Not so much in terms of personnel, it's just me and G, but in terms of subject matter, because we're looking at the Stardom 10th anniversary All-Star Dream Cinderella. And my friends, if you may allow me just a brief recollection. After watching this show, I sat quietly in a darkened room in self-reflection, considering what I had seen and pondering what I might say on this very podcast. And unwittingly, I found myself reliving the event, not through rose-tinted spectacles as one might expect, but green. For I felt envy, people, envy over a number of issues seen on this show. For example, the speed in which Azumi and Natsupoi are able to move, I felt envy. The amount of friends Emi Sakura seemingly has at her disposal, I felt envy. The mutant flexibility of Mai Iwatani's neck, I felt envy. But most of all, having been in lockdown here in the UK for longer than I care to remember, I felt the most bitter sense of jealousy when it came to Julia, free to get a haircut, the lucky, lucky sod. It's the Wrestling Podcast. We're here live and in your face. My name is Liam. This guy is Gareth.
Hey.
And you, my friends, on the Inside the Ropes Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for joining us here. It's the Wrestling Podcast. You know the deal by now. Me and G, we're not anti, we're simply pro wrestling. Catchphrases out of the way. G, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, real good, thank you. What about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad at all. As he pulls back the hair from his face.
Just thinking today how extra long it was.
It's rough, isn't it? It's just terrible scenes at the moment.
I've just been hiding mine under a hat for the last few weeks.
Yeah, you're a clever man, actually. I'm thinking of investing in a hairband like one of the sort of 90s football players of old. I mean, it's only my wife and my daughter that's going to see me, so it's not a big issue. But
and me. Think of me.
And you. We don't have to do this on video, to be fair.
Yeah, okay, phew.
All right, let's get into this thing then. So, huge show to talk about here. This is Stardom's 10th anniversary All-Star Dream Cinderella show. Very big deal indeed, particularly as this is the first time in 25 years that a Joshi company had played the famous Nippon Budokan venue in Tokyo, Japan. Very cool stuff indeed. Huge card from top to bottom. So let's just get into it. G-Money, talk to me, baby. What did you think about this show?
Yeah, I loved it. Top notch. Hit just right, I think. Bar sort of one match that wasn't my cup of tea. Everything else, yeah, really, really knocked out of the park.
Cool. Good stuff. Interesting. Okay, well, let's give this the full treatment then, shall we? The card started off on YouTube, I believe. Two matches available for free, so I suppose we might as well just stick those in the Twitter feed for anybody that hasn't had a chance to watch these. But we had the high-speed championship of Azumi defending against Donna Del Mundo's Natsupoi. And we also had Goddess of Stardom tag team titles, which was Donna Del Mundo members Himeka and Maika against the Oedo Tai tandem of Natsuko Tora and Saki Kashima. Can we go high-speed first? Because I just love this match. It's the coolest.
I do think the high-speed title, more often than not, does deliver really just super fun outings.
I think it's my favourite.
I think Azumi is fantastic. Going back to her match with Starlight Kid, you know, which we both absolutely raved about, like, and this is in the same ballpark.
Yeah, it really is.
Just a real, like, fast-paced, kick-ass match. Some moves here that, you know, I don't think I've ever seen before. There was, like, a really wild spinning, rolling powerbomb from Natsupoi.
Yeah, it was like a cartwheel sunset flip. I had it written down. I think we're talking about the same move.
Yeah. I sort of didn't know quite how to describe that. And I don't think I'd ever seen that done before. And no. I legitimately bit on that as it being the end because it just looked so good and such a fun move. From then on, like, Natsupoi just kind of kept hitting a series of big moves. And I was just like, yep. Natsupoi's got it here. Natsupoi's got it here. And somehow Azumi just keeps kicking out.
Yeah. It's so much fun. I love this style of wrestling. It really feels like the sort of new iteration of the WCW Cruiserweight division or the TNA X division. You know, if you're into that style of wrestling, that traditionally Cruiserweight style of wrestling, then you should really check out these high-speed matches because I think they'd be right up your street. They feel like the next evolution of that, in 100%. My opinion. Yeah, so much cool stuff here. One thing that I wanted to make a reference to, Izumi, 18 years old, by the way, crazy Bonkers. Stuff there. She was springboarding in this match, and it's so unusual to see that, particularly in women's wrestling. I don't think I can, perhaps with the exception of Saya, who we're going to talk about later, I can't think of any female wrestler off the top of my head that does a huge amount of springboarding, but with Izumi, it's very natural.
Definitely, yeah. I think she just keeps getting better. I think I read somewhere that even though Izumi is only 18, she's actually got more experience than Natsupoi.
It doesn't surprise me. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
But yeah, this was tons of fun. Yeah, like we were saying as well, we can chuck this one up on Twitter. I think it's one worth going out of your way to watch.
It really is, because it was all of 7 minutes and 41 seconds per cage match. And I would describe this as a sort of concentrated shot of pro wrestling bliss. It was just so good.
It was just breathless, wasn't it? You know, yeah. You looked away from the screen and you'd missed 10 moves.
Yeah, really cool stuff. So Natsupoi picked up the win.
With a bridging German suplex hold, yeah. Which I really like. That's one thing as well that really I think is nice, how fairly run-of-the-mill moves in kind of Joshi hit it with a nice bridge, and that's a legit finisher.
Yeah, because I suppose with something like a bridging German, you know, it is all about the bridge, and if you've got a particularly good grasp of that element of the move, then why wouldn't it be a pin? So
definitely.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Something else I wanted to mention here as well is, in Japan, we've spoken before about how stables are very much the culture out there, and, you know, big groupings of people. You look at New Japan, how many people in Bullet Club at this point, you know, it's absolutely overflowing. But to me, sometimes they can feel slightly oddly assembled in terms of how many people they have in a stable relative to the amount of titles that are available.
Yeah.
And, you know, you sort of question, well, why would you be part of that stable if you know that you've got somebody above you in your own group in the pecking order for a belt? What I really like about Donna Del Mundo is they, I believe in storyline, recruited Poi for the sole purpose of having a dog in the fight when it comes to the high-speed division.
Absolutely.
I love that. That makes perfect sense.
It's real smart, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really good stuff. So there we go. Wonderful opener. Genuinely good stuff. Knocking on the door for the Wrestling 21, that's for sure. Okay, let's move on to
onto the spreadsheet it goes.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Goddesses of Stardom title match. What did you think of this one?
Good. Again, I think as a tag team title match, but only going just north of 7 minutes, you know, you can only do so much. But I really like everyone that was involved in here. I thought everyone did a good job. Micah is just super impressive.
I'm so glad you said that, because I actually had written down as well that I just feel like she's criminally underrated.
Yeah,
and
definitely
kind of flies under the radar amidst the big personalities in Donna Del Mundo.
When she sort of scooped up both of the Uedo Tai team members on her shoulders for that Argentine backbreaker, I was just like, whoa.
So cool.
That's not something you see a ton of. A vast majority of Joshi wrestlers are on the smaller end of the scale. You know, there's not like tons of like super jack people that can do stuff like that. So, and especially in sort of Stardom. So yeah, it was kind of really cool to see stuff like that. That was unique. And yeah, I really like that Himeka more than held up her end of the bargain as well.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun with her crazy facial expressions.
So yeah, I think they're a fun team. Like, I hope they get like a good run with the tag titles here.
Definitely. And I love that it was a Michinoku driver that finished the match, having taken one accidentally after trusting somebody who shall not be named to give me a friendly scoop slam, and they took it upon themselves to deliver quite a brutal Michinoku driver on a school playing field, concussing me for several minutes. It's a brutal
move. Fine.
But you know, we'll move on from that. I'm not bitter. I gather that Micah was actually trained by Taka Michinoku, so perhaps
wild.
That was in homage to him.
That's cool.
Yeah, very cool. Nice stuff. Okay, let's talk briefly about the All-Star Rumble match. A lot of fun here, pretty chaotic. I think, admittedly, not having the most extensive grasp of Joshi history, I probably lost out a little bit here.
This was my thing as well. Like, this would have been great fun if you were intimately familiar with all the people coming back, you know, and making guest appearances. But where, as if you've been listening to this from the start, you know, it's only in the last less than a year that we've really been watching Joshi with any regularity. So yeah, a lot of this was lost on us, I think.
Yeah. As we go, there's a match later on in the card that, although I enjoyed, I really wish it had had a bit longer. And when you look at the length of time this one went, I feel like a little bit perhaps could have been shaved off. Mm. You know, 35 minutes. Long old time. I get there's a lot of people there, but I just felt, given the sort of action that was on display, it felt a bit more, not a comedy match, but it was a bit of a novelty match, really. And there was one on the card, which we'll get to, that I felt probably could have done with five of those 35 minutes, at very least.
One thing here as well that I did find frustrating is the production. I feel like quite a number of people were eliminated in this match, and we missed it as viewers. And you're just like, oh, where's so-and-so? Because I don't remember seeing Emmy get eliminated. And speaking of Emmy, her entrance for this match was wonderful. With
it's cool as hell, wasn't it?
The entirety of the Gato Move trainees accompanying her.
Yeah. Do you know what I thought, though, as we were watching that? I kind of harked back to our conversation with the Choco Pro team and how Balian was saying that May always knows where the camera is. And she found it during the entrance, didn't she? She got behind Emmy and struck a pose. And I thought,
Yeah,
she knows what she's doing. She'll go far, that smart one. Really nice to see Unagi Sakaya pick up the win here, having been through her trials of recent, where she was having one-on-one matches with a host of Stardom's biggest and baddest, and often coming up, well, pretty much exclusively coming up on the short end of those matches. This was nice for her to get a payoff victory, and hopefully she kicks on from here.
The other thing that, again, relating back to Emmy, I liked that she was in there with her former tag team championship partner from the Reset.
I didn't think of that. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It was just another nice little touch.
Yeah, so true.
Good fun, but the significance was mostly lost on us, unfortunately. And that's maybe not on Stardom, more on us. I do think the production issues were a shame.
Yeah, okay. So the first sort of big one-on-one match, if you like, of the main card was an interpromotional battle, the first two, between Seedling and Stardom. This was the returning Nene Takahashi against Momo Watanabe. Thoughts, G-Money?
I was rooting for Momo here, so I was disappointed to see her lose. But, you know, I thought the early series of drop kicks and strikes in the corner from Momo looked amazing. Like, she looked just really kind of fast and just everything just looks really, really crisp. And then I liked it when Nene got pissed off and then was just returned fire with a flurry of headbutts. A really cool little sequence.
I felt like there was some real needle going into this. Mm. You know, they did a really good job with that, even right down to Momo's entrance. You know, she looked furious walking down the ramp, and it felt legit. And I felt as though Momo coming across very serious and Takahashi playing it up a little bit more made me really root for Momo, even, you know, much more so than usual, in fact. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gutted to see her lose. It's probably the right decision if they're thinking of building this rivalry between the promotions out more.
Sure.
But I worry that Momo feels in danger of becoming Jungle Kiona 0.2. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, somebody that everybody really likes but isn't necessarily going to get the support from the office.
One thing I liked, a little touch I liked in this match was Takahashi hitting a Mikanoshu driver and getting a very close near fall with it. You know, it's like, well, she must have been watching. You know, she'd seen like, oh, you know, we've just seen one match, one person pick up the win with this move. Maybe it'll work for me too.
Well, I mean, I can, as I say, I can vouch for its effectiveness. So yeah, why ever not?
And that's something, we see throughout the show with another finishing maneuver from one match being effectively the same finish for another.
Makes sense, doesn't it? You know, if you assume that these guys are in the back watching these on the monitor and you see something that's, you know, just sparks somebody out, why wouldn't that be on your mind?
That. Not my favourite match on the card, but certainly, you know, deserves its place on the card and was a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing more interactions between Stardom and Seedling. And it's, you know, I think we're going to have to set sail for Seedling before too long and have a little look.
Oh, go on then, you've twisted my arm. moving on then. So SWA Undisputed Women's World Title match next. Shuri, the champion, defending against Konami. And this was the one I was talking about in terms of time.
I would have loved an extra few minutes on this one.
Extra five would have done it, right? I mean, it was great for what it was. I think they crammed a lot into a short time. It felt very legit.
Yeah.
But just an extra five and, you know, you're knocking on the door, I think.
And you've got kind of a MMA influence to both women here. So, like, and that sort of translated to the match, obviously.
So I don't know if this was the story they're trying to tell or if this is the story that I've just overlaid on this.
Tell me your story.
My story was that if you look at Shuri's combat record, is very impressive. You know, her kickboxing record in particular is pretty stellar. I think she only ever lost once. Her mixed martial arts record, whilst decent in Japan, sort of fell off a little bit in the UFC, a lot of unanimous decisions, etc. And I understand that the ground game was more of an issue for her than the strikes, obviously, with that stellar kickboxing record. So I felt like Konami was doing more submission-based stuff, and that kind of played on the issues that Shuri had had in MMA. Mm. But that was, I don't know if that was intentional or if that was just a story that I was, you know, transposing onto the match itself. But either way, it made it very compelling for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That said, Shuri's step over stretch muffler was essentially a death finisher. Well, there was no escape from that whatsoever.
Definitely.
So she got the last laugh on the ground.
I liked, there was a little touch in here, I don't know if you noticed, was Bea Priestley pulling the ropes away from Shuri when she was in a submission hold to stop her from reaching the ropes. And it was Priestley who Shuri took the title from.
Okay. No, I hadn't picked up on that.
So you can see why she'd not just helping her stablemate, but trying to punish the person that took that belt from her.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. But yeah, really good stuff. These are probably two of my favorites in Stardom.
Yeah.
Bell to bell, spectacular.
They've both got huge upsides, haven't they? Like, I think the sky's the limit for both.
Yeah. Like Konami rocking the speedball Mike Bailey style.
Yeah, I spotted that.
Yeah. Just the kick pads, no shoes, no boots. Very cool stuff. She's just very cool and quite menacing, I think, as well. But this was a really fun match for what it was. Would have liked to see an extra five, but there we go. We move. Okay, next on the card, Mayu Iwatani, the icon of Stardom, up against Yoshiko in the second of the interpromotional matches here. Thoughts and feelings?
Yeah, goody. Like, real interesting seeing these two go off against one another. Obviously not sort of super familiar with the background of Yoshiko, but, you know, have a little bit of an understanding, her kind of splitting from Stardom.
Yeah, for sure.
But I really felt like here with, you've got the perfect ragdoll in Mayu Iwatani against Yoshiko, who felt, I don't
dangerous?
Know, yeah, felt reckless. Her style feels reckless. Like, and I don't know how much of that is a work and how much is a shoot. But yeah.
So it's interesting, isn't it? So the first line of my notes was, Yoshiko looks dangerous. Like, even when she's standing still, it feels like Mayu is free swimming next to a great white.
There was a moment in this match that had my jaw on the floor. Like, I thought Mayu had taken the term suicide dive literally.
Well, it was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. I honestly thought she'd broken her neck.
Yeah, same. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but the seedling team who perhaps were tasked with catching her parted like the sea. And she just flew straight through them and onto her head. And
I thought, you know, she's either seriously injured or she's dead.
Yeah, it's incredible how she survives this stuff.
And she just seemed to, you know, she got up and she's like, yeah, that wasn't fun, but kind of shook it off and then took to the top rope again and dived to the outside almost immediately afterwards. So
yeah, she's so gutsy and tenacious, and, you know, she takes a beating and she never quits. I think she's a real proper baby face in that regard. Mm-hmm. So easy to get behind.
It definitely makes you see maybe perhaps why Joshi careers aren't necessarily the longest.
Definitely.
I enjoyed Mayu's offense here as well. She hit a lovely crucifix bomb, which is a real favorite of mine.
Yeah, it's so cool, isn't it? Really good stuff. Actually, the stretch for this one was killer, wasn't it? You know, the near falls, there was a whole little super kick section with Mayu just trying to kick Yoshiko's head off, and I was biting on everything.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Like, once it kind of got into, because, you know, this match went, what, 15 minutes, but, like, it was hard hitting, you know, it was like 100 miles an hour, like, from the bell, but in a very different way to, say, the high-speed title match.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
One of the things that really, again, like, another spot that just made me go shake my head was Mayu going for the first moonsault, and Yoshiko basically just got her feet up and just booted her out from, you know, from her back, booted her out of the air.
Yeah, it's proper All Japan women stuff that, you know, you see clips of the more old school wrestlers from that era doing that move, and it looks absolutely brutal, and it did here as well. But it was interesting to see Stardom and Seedling go 1-1, particularly mm-hmm. this way around. I maybe had forecast it to go the other way, to be honest with you.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I'd like to see this continue. I do think it's interesting.
It does seem, you know, it could be seen as a questionable decision having arguably your ace drop a fall to an outsider on your biggest show ever. But I enjoyed it, and my winning was the right decision. Yeah. Here.
Yeah, for sure. And shout out to Mayu's theme song as well, which is absolutely ace. It's like a house instrumental of Baby Shark. It's good stuff. One observation that I picked up on in this match, but it actually applies to pretty much all of Japanese wrestling, and I've just never had the opportunity to articulate it. I don't know if you agree with this, but I feel as though Japanese refs really labour on the third count.
Yes.
So much so that it makes it almost impossible to forecast whether or not a move is going to be decisive. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes I think in Western wrestling, where the counts are perhaps more consistent, the hands coming down, you know the speed, whereas this the third count tends to...
You want to be really sure.
It comes down like a feather, and you just don't know if it's going to be the one. And I think that little moment of hesitation is something that really helps you bite on near falls as a fan.
I really think so.
I don't know if that's by design, but if so, it's very clever.
I definitely feel the more Japanese wrestling I've watched, the more I've noticed that. Like, that's something that's been rattling around my head as well, but I didn't maybe necessarily know how to verbalize that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I necessarily did, but there you go. Okay, well, speaking of three counts, I think that is a three count on this, the first half of the show. We're going to be back after the break talking about the top two matches from this glorious show from Stardom. Stay safe, people. Come back soon. We move.
And we're back. So we've got the World of Stardom title match here with reigning and defending champion Utami Hashishita defending against Saya Kamitani. What did you make of this one, Liam?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great, respectful, back-and-forth face-versus-face match, which is not easy to do. One thing that really stood out to me is I feel like Utami's onto something. You know, she's got a natural presence about her in a similar vein to Julia, but perhaps more cultivated in terms of this sort of rose gimmick which she's using at the second, but it's working. That's the match, isn't it? Julia versus Utami.
Definitely.
At some point down the line.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
You know, we'll get to her later, but maybe Julia wins the 5-star Grand Prix and we do that one a bit later in the year, but that feels like the match.
It was very cute that Utami gave a rose to Akira Hokuto.
Rose is deadly, man. You shouldn't accept the rose. It's like red apple from The Witch and Snow White, right?
Saya just impressed me so much in this match.
Can I run a comparison by you? Does she smack a little bit of Kenny Omega to you? Because she does to me, particularly in sort of her first step and her urgency and her innovation. You know, she's always trying new stuff. And
interesting.
I don't know, sort of early Green Trunks Kenny Omega.
Sure.
I don't know. That's just something that occurred to me during this one.
Interesting. I have to give that one some thought. But yeah, either way, like, her offense, I thought, was awesome. She looked great.
She's so different, isn't she, with the moves that she does. Really stands out.
I think she's got real poise as well, because I don't know if you noticed, when she went for her springboard Hurricanrana, she very clearly slipped but still hit it completely flush.
Yeah, she's got that body control, which is impressive. And yeah, you're absolutely right, poise is a good word.
So yeah, that was amazing. And just she can do stuff like hitting that amazing Phoenix Splash as well, even if she's not landing it. But the very fact, you know, what a move.
Yeah, and for someone with her wingspan as well, it looks all the more impressive.
I think these two worked beautifully together here. A real top tier match, very deserving of, you know, fighting for the top belt in all of Stardom here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I absolutely adored, there was a near fall right at the end where Utami had her up for her finisher, which I think is an Argentine backbreaker, and, you know, basically in sort of a razor's edge position. And it got reversed into a hurricanrana for a real, real close pinfall again. Mm-hmm. You know, so good with these near falls. I just had me biting like a noob. Yep. It's just, yeah, it's great stuff though. It's lovely to feel that way.
It's so nice, isn't it?
It really
like,
is.
You know, yeah. I don't kind of get that all the time, but certainly, you know, here I felt this. And, you know, when we were talking about Ice Ribbon, I really got that as well recently. And yeah, I really liked the finish here as well. It was just the culmination of all the damage taken throughout the match, and that was just it for poor old Sire.
Yep. But, you know, a really good effort. She loses nothing in defeat.
Oh, no.
Just another thing that occurred to me during this one, but it goes for the whole show. One thing I think Stardom do really well is the gear. You know, the gear that the wrestlers wear. And I think this match in particular was a good example, with the green and the red for each competitor was so vibrant. But I think it helps elevate the overall product and sets it apart slightly from some of the other promotions. I don't think maybe Ice Ribbon, Tokyo Yoshi Pro, although the gear's cool, there's something different about this. I think the level of production. Yeah,
yeah.
I think so. And it helps set it apart. So after the match, we had Bea Priestley coming out and challenging Utami for the belt. And what I glean from this is that Bea's gimmick is now that she speaks Japanese poorly, which is a heel device I don't dislike, to be honest with you.
No.
So that match is going down, I think, at the next Budokan show.
And then it was time.
It's time. Hair versus hair.
The match they've been building to for quite a while now.
Jeepers creepers, my word. What a contest here.
It felt like the key word in this match was hubris.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Again, man, so much needle in this one. You know, it felt very genuine, the issue between the two. And the stakes just made it feel massive.
And just going back to your comment about the costumes, I really love Julia's little pauldron. Or that's to you and me, that's the little shoulder pad.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, same. Yeah, it was very cool. Yeah,
it's a really nice little touch.
Yeah, it was like a much better version of Finley's one from WCW.
I only know because I made my own fake like leather pauldron for a Renaissance fair I went to in America back in 2019.
What's that, listeners? You want a picture on our Twitter account? No problem at all. We'll get that sorted out for you.
I'd dig that up. Yeah, I went as Magnus from the Adventure Zone, for anybody that's interested.
Beats the hell out of me, but I want to see a picture. Let's do it.
Yeah, no worries. But yeah, I just thought that was real cute and good and just looked real cool and sparkly.
Yep, I don't disagree, mate. This absolutely
fashion corner over.
It doesn't have to be. I like that we're the fashion podcast. There's no E in fashion.
But yeah, it really had that big fight feel, didn't it? I think.
Yeah, and it's so hard to create that as well. And it's so rare that you get those matches, but this definitely felt like it was a big one.
You know, Julia here just kind of felt so much like a end of level boss, just like laughing at Tam's best attempts, you know, shrugging off her strikes and just...
Well, she's really turned it up recently in terms of the aggression, and she's just been a real meanie, you know?
Just not taking Tam seriously at all.
Well, she slept Unagi, she shredded Starlight Kid's mask, you know, she's just been carrying this real sort of big dick energy, for lack of a better term, and, you know, just looked like a real asshole. But she was against the perfect foil here, because Tam's such a great baby face.
Yeah, just pure baby face, isn't she?
So great, so great.
Once Julia took control here, it just felt like, well, it's just a matter of time. We had the hanging neck breaker from the ropes to the apron.
That looked lethal.
Yeah, it looked lethal. And then we had a pile driver through a table on the outside.
I couldn't believe that. I thought that was, you know, when, for example, if both wrestlers are on the outside of the ring on the apron and they kind of fake a German suplex, I thought it was going to be one of those and it will get reversed into something a little bit more palatable. No, just pile driver straight through the table. And then I loved that she rolled in and was very happy to take a count out.
Yeah.
You know, that's smart wrestling, particularly for a tweener slash heel.
You say that she was happy to take the count there, but then later on, I think her pride gets the best of her
because
the ref is about to count 10 and count her out just on the mat, and she stops him.
Well,
so hubris, my friends.
Indeed. The big dick energy came back to bite her. Yeah, you're not wrong at all. And that was her undoing. Some really good stuff here. Great back and forths. Both wrestlers hit a glorious driver, which is a lovely move. There was a slap exchange in this, or it started off as a slap exchange and turned into like a palm strike exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a brutal sequence. They're both going to be feeling it the next day.
100%, yeah.
Jesus Christ. And, you know, it was pin drop stuff. You know, the crowd was dead quiet for this. And at one point, Tam's just unloading on her and Julia puts both of her hands behind her back, badass. Oh, my gosh. And just, you know, when Julia returned to fire, she was really piecing her up and it just looked brutal. Probably a bit unnecessary, truthfully. You know, it's a bit hard to watch. Kind of hark back to that Mayu Shuri match from last year where you kind of wince whilst you're watching it. But it was compelling. It was riveting stuff. It really was.
When Tam finally did make her comeback here, it was just like top babyface stuff. You know, hitting that tiger suplex for a big near fall, glorious driver exchange.
The Steiner screwdriver?
Yeah, mad.
What? Are we doing WWE SmackDown vs. Raw creator wrestler stuff here? What's going on here?
It's seek out, as a bare minimum, the top two matches here.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, why not put aside a couple of hours and do the whole show? You won't regret it, honestly. This is a top draw show overall, but definitely the top two matches.
I mean, if you're not down to kind of put the money down for the pay-per-view, it will hit Stardom World very soon, like in the next few days. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. And then, yeah, the win came here for Tam with an arm trap German suplex.
Yeah, is this the Twilight Dream?
Is that what that's called?
I believe so.
So despite us watching Japanese wrestling sort of pretty regularly, there's still a lot of move names that just haven't, especially, you know, when we don't have English commentary, just haven't penetrated my little brain.
Yeah, no, we're still learning. But I was absolutely praying for Julia's neck after that one. It was a killer. I love the post-match, you know, the immediate aftermath of the pinfall where they're both, you know, just absolutely knackered. Their faces look swollen. It was just a brutal, brutal match. And I tell you what, mate, you know, we're in March. We are scheduled to do a wrestling 21 at the end of the year. I think we're going to need a wrestling 40 or 50 at this rate, because it's just, you know, you think about
last
week's
show. It's going to be tough, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
but also, I think we're watching more.
That's true. That's so true.
Because we're going to be watching heaps more for the entire year this year as well. Whereas you think it was only from, what, the autumn last year that we kind of turned up.
Yeah, we're dead. We're absolutely dead.
But yeah, so I just wanted to make mention, you know, like this was the other time, you know, we had a bridging German suplex picking up another win here. So that was like probably unintentional, but I liked that there was a little running, almost like a little meta narrative running through the show of people trying the same moves that have been effective earlier in the show to win with.
Yeah, well, I wonder if that speaks to the training, and I'm purely speculating here, but you made a really great point last week about the house style of Ice Ribbon and all the incredible pinning combinations. Maybe that's something that's labored on more heavily in the training process here, bridging techniques.
It's true. I'm very insightful.
I think so. An insightful man. Let's talk about the post-match. You know, Tam, being a proper babyface, didn't want to do the dirty
I love
work.
That so much.
Me too.
And that and Julia sitting there with her arms folded and looking like a petulant child.
Talk about making lemonade out of lemons, though. You know, she got arsy with the barber and sort of, you know, told him to crack on and do it. And there, yeah, just looking like a real pissed off kid, you know, slamming the mic down. I mean, way to own it. And I think the whole shaved head thing will end up being a real star maker for her, as if she needed it. What would be interesting is if she went Samson in the meantime and lost all of her powers with the loss of her hair. But I think this is going to be the making of her.
Definitely. You know, it's certainly going to give her a unique look until if or when she grows it back as well.
So there you go. What an absolute belter of a show. Second one in 2 weeks, by the way, because the Ice Ribbon show we talked about last week was phenomenal as well. So much good stuff to seek out, people, in the world of Joshi.
The women out in Japan are just killing it at the moment. You know, if you're not watching Joshi wrestling, now is the perfect time to start, especially with the recent AEW Women's Title Eliminator Tournament. You've got a bunch of free Joshi wrestling with stars from various promotions available with English promotion for free on YouTube.
Yeah, and English commentary, perhaps most critically. So this is, you're never going to get a better entry point than that in terms of learning about these wrestlers, who they are, and where they come from.
You know, I just think this was such a great show this week. That's why we've, you know, and it was such a big show for Stardom, hence us turning over the whole thing to this one show. I know usually we would cover two big shows every week, but yeah, we made the decision that it was just going to be Stardom this week.
Yeah, and do you know what? They didn't disappoint us. I really would encourage you to check out the show if you haven't done so already. Really great stuff from Stardom.
They're not even paying us, you know, like, we'll take a sponsorship, Stardom.
Yeah, hit us up. Rossi, hit us up. Come on, man. Wouldn't it be great, by the way, just spitballing here, if Emi Sakura and the Chucky P team were in Stardom a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be really up for that. Interesting that they were there, though. Does this suggest the Forbidden Door swung even further open?
Yeah. It does seem like there is seemingly more and more cooperation between Joshi promotions from what little we know of it. Like, it seems like there's a lot more crossover than, you know, even 6 months ago when we started. I didn't, you know, wasn't aware of these crossovers happening.
Yep. No, absolutely. Okay, mate, that is us, I think, for this week. Oh, what have we got on for next week? Wow, we're not slowing down, folks. No, we're in Japan for the whole episode once again. We've got Pro Wrestling Noah's Great Voyage, which is going to be headlined by a title match between Kenno and Kendo Kishin, so it should be fun to watch. And we got Tokyo Joshi Pro's Change the Wind Direction show, which we're going to be talking about as well. It features the conclusion of the Max Hart Tag Team Tournament, so that's going to be a lot of fun as well.
For all you Ito simps.
Absolutely. So both of these shows are going to be streaming live on Wrestle Universe. If you want to watch along with us and then hear our thoughts, send us your thoughts on all the socials. So we're on Twitter and Instagram. It's at WrestlingPod. That's wrestling without the E. You can go to WrestlingPod.com for all the links you need in regards to listening to this here show, our personal Twitter, and all the good stuff. ITRWrestling.com is where you can find some news, views, and all other good stuff. And if you want something to hold, something to feel, something to cuddle as you go to sleep at night, then why not check out InsideTheRopesMagazine.com for some more mainstream but really, really good content in there as well. Finally, if you're looking to feel good, why not head over to shop.itrwrestling.com and grab yourself some wrestling podcast merch. We've got the shirts, got the hoodies, we got the mugs, we got more stuff on the way, so do check that out and rep your boys. Okay, I think that's pretty much us done for this week. Thanks so much for joining us once again. We really do appreciate it. And in the meantime, stay happy, stay safe, and enjoy the grabs.